I'd like to welcome everyone on behalf of Yeshiva Torah Chraga, on behalf of Yeshiva University in Israel. As Menahal of Yeshiva Torah Chraga, I'd like to personally thank Mark Lerman, director of YU in Israel, and his dedicated staff for really organizing, hosting the evening, organizing, taking care of all the technical details. Right now there's a live feed going on through the internet. People who are not here, unable to be here, physically can't be here. They're able to be here virtually, and we're welcome those who are joining us through the internet. Anyone who is here or is watching is doing so because he or she has been impacted by Benny Eisner, Zatzal. We all know how he left an indelible mark on each one of us. Thousands of English speakers around the world came in contact with a person who, through his love and through his passion, made some change in our lives. And we're here to remember him. And as he lived his life, and as he told us so many times, just to try to be Mekadi Shem Shemayim, that's what we're trying to do here this evening. It was the desire of Benny's family to organize this Azkara, which is between the Shiva and the Shloshim, to do it to coordinate with the Rosh Hashiva of Yeshiva University and the Rosh Kollel, Rav Heschel Shachter, Shlita's visit to Eretz Yisrael. Rav Benny and Rav Shachter enjoyed a very close friendship, really yedidus. They mamish loved each other, and it's a big schus for us to have Rav Shachter Shlita give the Rei Hasbid. We spoke to Rav Benny, we only spoke a few minutes. Every year, when I would visit Eretz Yisrael, I would speak to him for 2 minutes. When he would visit America, we would speak together for 2 minutes. But there was quite a close friendship. Amatzoi Shabbos, right after the funeral, my son, Akiva Posen, who was a student of his, an Israeli student of his, and Yeshiva Matsiri, who called us on the telephone to tell about the funeral, and that Sunday, every Sunday afternoon, I have a chavrusa with the balabas. I mentioned to the balabas that my son-in-law called and he mentioned that Rav Benny passed away. So this balabas says, isn't that terrible? His two sons learned by Rav Benny and D&T, and he left such a roishaman. He left such a roishaman all over the Talmud. His sons, people would call Rav Benny for years after they learned by him. My son-in-law Kiva learned by Rav Benny years ago. He left a tremendous version. Men had a tremendous Avos Yisrael with no distinction between what party you belong to. You belong to Mizrahi, Aguda, whatever. Avos Yisrael, he loved all the Jews. Religious Jews, non-observant Jews, he loved everybody. He had a tremendous simchas achayim. He always had a smile on his face. He was clearly a Talmud Chacham. He always quoted psukim from Tanakh and Gemara's Talmud Chacham. But many times you have a Talmud Chacham. You get so involved in learning, he becomes morose and bitter at the whole world. But then he was such a friendly man. Never morose, always chill. Kabbal parham, kabbal hachem, the same part of Yom Kippur. That's how the Mishnah says he's supposed to do. He did it kipshut. Kabbal parham, the same part of Yom Kippur. He's always mechaber talmid chachamim. Whether they knew how to learn more than him or less than him, never had a harsh word about a talmid chacham that I heard. Always mechaber everybody. He instilled such an avas haTorah on his students. He showed such an avas haTorah. Instilled such an avas haTorah on his students. He showed us. Most of us are missing this. He showed us what it means to be kofof to your Rebbe. His Rebbe was Ratzvi Yehuda Kook. We always speak about him with such reverence and tell all the stories in Hanhagas. When he had a shalom life, my impression, the few minutes that I spoke to him every time, my impression was, he'd always look back and in his mind imagine up to you with his Rebbe. And what would his Rebbe say in this case? He would always tell all the stories, how his Rebbe acted in a certain case, and that's the way he would act. Very kofof to his Rebbe. It's missing a lot in our generation. Talmidei Chachamim are not kofof to their Rebbe. It's very machshiv, the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. Many of the drushes were about the hashivas of the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. And they quote in the biographies of Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Cook, that they once asked him, why is he so wound up about Eretz Yisrael? What got him so excited about Eretz Yisrael? He says, when you open a chumash, you start from Avraham Avinu, Bat Mechaan. Everything is revolving about Eretz Yisrael. Rabbeinu, whatever the Parshas HaShavua, whatever the Haftarah, there's always something about Eretz Yisrael. We'd always speak about Eretz Yisrael. When he would speak, it would be like the Mesillas Hashem writes in the introduction. He's going to write Dvar Pshutin, but because they're so pashut, people forget about the Dvar Pshutin. He would say, Dvar Pshutin, you can't argue with it. He would remind us of all the Dvar Pshutin, among them the Chivas Eretz Yisrael. Just on Shabbos, we ate together with Rabbeinu's daughter, Bruria. So she was encouraging me, I should move to Eretz Yisrael. So I said, your father's speaking. It's not your father's drush. That's the way it's supposed to be. The children should say, oh, but the father's Masar from the father's. But then he was Machshiv in Medina. Not just Eretz Yisrael, he was Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael. The Medina is a holy thing. This is from Yitzchak HaKohen Cook, before the Medina, from Tzvi Yehuda Cook, the Medina. An important thing, Machshiv in Medina very much. He was Machshiv in Tzava very much. It's a mitzvah to go into the army. If you remember hearing from him that if you have a certain number of children, so they no longer draft you into the army. So he had already that number of children, and he went to the army anyway. But then, in conversation, it came out, the commander of his unit asked him, but you have this already so many children, you don't have to come. So he said, so what? It's like there's a concept of Eina Mitzvah V'Yosa. People volunteer to do this. So Baz and Mitzvah. Not just an obligation, but paying taxes, wants to pay taxes. Who volunteers extra tax? So Baz and Mitzvah. It's a concept of Eina Mitzvah V'Yosa. Even Medina the Mahfuz at the Andre. It was a mitzvah to go to Tzavar. And he would instill this love for Eretz Yisrael, for Medina, for the Tzava, and all of its students. They were Hashivas there. In Yiddish, there's an expression, as melep don cheshven, shtarp an on lidui. A person has to live with a cheshven. Shouldn't lead a wild life, a sloppy life. If you're going to live without keeping a cheshven of your actions, you're going to die without saying lidui. That then he left at Savoy, that they went to the funeral. And at Savoy, who gets which money? I don't think he had so much money to divide. He left an ethical will. Left an ethical will. Just last week, the last week before I left America, a week and a half ago, one of the professors in the yeshiva asked me to attend his lecture. I had a guest lecture on certain professors. I should come, it would be interesting. They were talking about people leaving ethical wills. And by the Jews, that's such an important thing. But then he left an ethical will. You read what he wrote there. He read it in the funeral. They showed me a copy of this. When I attended this lecture in Yeshiva, someone showed us a copy of the ethical will. So I think the first thing he writes is, if there is svarim that you'll find in my bookcase that belongs to someone else, please make sure that you give it back to the rightful owner. The svarim that come from the certain base of Hedish, please make sure you give it back to base of Hedish. He's concerned about getting it. And all of the other issues in the will, it's mamish. A man who lived with cheshvan, I'm sure he died with lidui. We should all remember all of the lessons in life that he taught all of us. Intentionally, and tried to teach us. Some shape al-tasa, just the way he led his life. leading a much better life.